Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron will not be joining us today.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're going to talk about the medicinal qualities of food. So today's topic is one that's gaining a lot of traction. Food as medicine, quote unquote, is all about how what we eat can influence our health in profound ways. We'll talk about how certain foods can help prevent or even treat illnesses. Let's dive right in. While some foods may lead to chronic health conditions, others can offer therapeutic and protective qualities. For this reason, many people argue that food is medicine. Diet alone isn't a replacement for medicine in all circumstances, however.
According to Healthline.com, what we eat has a profound effect on our overall health and well-being. Research has shown that including healthy dietary systems can help influence and reduce the risk of certain diseases. While there are foods out there that we know of that can make chronic health conditions worse, others can be offer therapeutic and protective qualities. For this reason, many people argue that food is medicine. Diet alone isn't a replacement for medicine and conventional medicine in all circumstances. Many health conditions can be prevented or symptoms can be reduced by dietary and lifestyle changes, but others cannot. Plus, accessibility to nutritious whole foods, which are often very costly, can be difficult for many. So let's start with the basics. What do we mean when we say food as medicine?
That's a great question, Jean.
Okay. What do we mean? do we have an answer?
Yes.
Okay.
The concept is rooted in the idea that food isn't just fuel.
Okay.
It's functional.
Mm-hmm.
Certain foods contain nutrients and bioactive compounds that can help reduce inflammation, but they can also boost immunity and even manage chronic diseases like diabetes or heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a new idea. Many cultures have been using food medicinally for centuries.
Right. And I think that how ginger is traditionally used to soothe nausea, or turmeric is praised for its anti-inflammatory properties. Those are two examples. And these aren't just old wives' tales. There is science to back these claims up. And it's also about being intentional with what we eat, right?
Yep.
Not just avoiding junk food or overly processed food, but actually choosing foods that actively support our health.
Exactly. And that's what we're here to discuss today.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some specifics.
Okay.
Lita, what are some common health issues that can be assisted or the symptoms can be reduced through diet?
Well, the National Institute of Health did an article on the functional components and medicinal properties of food,
okay,
quote unquote. They give a definition of functional components as, quote, functional components are non-conventional biomolecules that occur in food which possess the capacity to modulate one or more metabolic processes or pathways in the body, resulting to health benefits and promotion of well-being, end quote. And I'll put that quote in our website.
Okay.
Because it's a lot to absorb.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, studies have shown that certain elements in food can directly impact our health and well-being. These components play a key role in managing diseases at different stages, from the early beginnings to their progression. Because of this, they can be used effectively to help prevent and treat illness. Today, as more people recognize the importance of a healthy diet in preventing long-term diseases, the line between what we consider food and what we consider medicine is becoming increasingly blurred.
And what about mental health? I've read that foods like blueberries and leafy greens can actually improve brain function, and that there are some foods that may relieve anxiety, specifically foods that contain omega-3 fatty acids, protein, fiber, vitamin B12, magnesium, and probiotics?
Absolutely. There's emerging evidence that gut health, which is influenced by your diet, plays a huge role in mental health. probiotic-rich foods like yogurt, fermented vegetables, they can boost your gut microbiome, which in turn can improve your mood and reduce anxiety. Salmon? What kind of a fisherman am I?
I don't know.
Salmon, herring, bluefin tuna, mackerel, sardines, anchovies, lake trout, and striped bass have a calming influence on your brain.
But in moderation, because they also contain mercury, which would be have a negative.
Yes, and not all of them contain.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Also, avocados, they're high in magnesium, and evidence suggests that magnesium can reduce anxiety. Chicken and eggs are also recommended, along with a high-fiber vegetable diet like broccoli, carrots, green beans, and leafy greens, like Jean mentioned before.
Boy, I'm getting hungry. The Cleveland Clinic has a great chart on their website, and we'll put a link to that on our page for this episode as well. And it's called 30 Plus Foods to Help with Anxiety.
Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And another big one is heart health.
Okay.
The Cleveland Clinic states, quote, eating more natural whole foods can lower your risk of heart and cardiovascular diseases, end quote.
Okay. And it's often said that the way to someone's heart is through their stomach. So in many ways, those words couldn't be more true.
True. Foods that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. Oh, we already did that.
Well, like salmon and walnuts.
Like all those fishes that we mentioned.
Right.
But also walnuts can help reduce bad cholesterol. Then there's diabetes. Fiber-rich foods like whole grains and vegetables can help regulate blood sugar levels. Anti-inflammatory foods like berries, fatty fish, and olive oil are powerful allies.
And I think it's worth discussing how what we eat can help with inflammation and pain relief. I've read that people with arthritis experienced reduced joint pain after adopting an anti-inflammatory diet, and people can lower their blood pressure significantly by reducing the amount of processed or overprocessed foods that they consume and eating more fresh produce.
Well, that's amazing. Well, I have read that migraines can be relieved by incorporating magnesium-rich foods like spinach and almonds into a diet.
Yeah, I've tried it. It didn't work for me, but maybe it made them less intense. Mm. It's inspiring to see how small, consistent changes can lead to big results. When should someone consult a healthcare provider for advice regarding their nutritional needs?
Well, if you're thinking of making changes to your diet, mm-hmm. consulting with a nutritionist or dietitian may be helpful. They can assess your current eating habits and provide advice for making healthier food choices, tailored toward improving physical well-being. This conversation usually starts with your GP, however.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should mention some of the foods that are considered harmful.
Okay. Well, regularly eating less than healthy foods, which might be, like, for example, high in saturated fats or trans fats, can raise up your blood cholesterol levels. And high cholesterol can lead up to a buildup of plaque in your arteries, and then that in turn can increase your risk of having a heart attack or stroke. So to use a plumbing analogy, eating healthier foods tends to keep your pipes clean, and filling up on greasier grub can end up with clogs, and then, you know, you have a backed up drain.
Okay.
And don't forget about inflammation, which is linked to so many, or, you know, is part of many chronic conditions. So when we eat foods that cause or increase inflammation in our bodies, foods, for example, with added sugar, trans fats, refined carbs or ultra-processed or processed foods, or red meat, your body isn't equipped to handle a great quantity of that, and inflammation can be the end result. And for example, eating a lot of added sugar or refined carbs can cause your blood sugar to spike. And to remedy that, you might need to cut back on foods that are made with added sugars, trans fats, refined carbs, omega-6 fatty acids, and processed meats. And there are some websites, and we'll put a link on our page for this episode called Eat This, Not That. They list 100 unhealthiest foods on the planet. And there are many different recipe swaps that you can make, you know, like using applesauce instead of butter and things of that nature. So, you know, there's little tweaks here and there to help improve what you're making at home.
Good idea. So limiting the intake of highly processed foods that are high in sugar, sodium, and unhealthy fats is essential for maintaining good health. Now, those are basically the fast foods that we get when we go through all the drive-thrus.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the drive-thrus.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were somewhere where we were not typically
right.
recently, and there was a Chick-a-Flick restaurant, and they have a kale salad. And I was like, oh, that's quite nice.
Yeah. I mean, when you find them, you feel like you won the lottery, right?
Well, yeah, you feel like you've, you know.
At least as far as your health.
Yep.
Well, these foods can contribute to chronic inflammation and increase the risk of various health issues, including heart disease and diabetes. Focusing on whole, unprocessed foods supports better health outcomes. There's a website called Canada's Food Guide that is really pretty good for finding out what foods are not going to be increasing your inflammation.
Okay.
But let's get practical, Jean. What are some of the easy ways listeners can start using food as medicine?
Well, for many, meal planning might be key. Start by focusing on one meal a day, maybe breakfast, for example, and make it nutrient dense. Maybe you like to have, for example, a smoothie. You like to have your spinach, flaxseed, and berry smoothie.
Yep.
So making, you know, making a change for one meal a day and then build up to two and then build up to three and, you know, incorporate your two snacks. So take it slow and steady, and that can make a big difference.
Right. And I'll add, read the food labels.
Yeah.
You have to avoid the added sugars and focus on whole, minimally processed foods. And hydration is also critical. Sometimes we overlook the simplest things like drinking enough water, but it's fundamental to good health.
Okay. And I guess also maybe we could try keeping a food journal. It helps you identify patterns and see what's working for your body. You can, you know, chronicle what you've eaten and then how you feel. And nowadays there are over-the-counter blood glucose monitors, and your healthcare provider can actually track them. And then you and your healthcare provider, or you and your dietitian or nutritionist, can sit down and actually see how it's affecting your body.
All right. Well, let's debunk a couple of myths.
Okay.
One that I hear a lot of is that eating healthy is too expensive.
Well, I think it's a common misconception, but there are definite food deserts where...
Well, I think we're going to talk about that.
Okay. But you can eat healthier on a budget by buying in bulk, shopping seasonally. Like right now, we're in winter, so, you know, you want to switch out certain vegetables for ones that are... you know, like try to, if you look back at how people used to cook,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they cooked with what was seasonal, that can work. But another nice alternative is frozen fruits and vegetables, because those are frozen at the peak of ripeness. So they have all the, you know, the nutrients that you would want for that time period, but you can get them any time of year.
Right.
And then also just focusing on staples like beans, which can be very high in fiber, and rice.
Okay. Another myth is that you need to make drastic changes overnight.
Yeah, all of a sudden. Everything has to switch.
Yeah, but in reality, small, sustainable health steps are much more effective.
I agree. And let's include things that, you know, healthy definitely does not mean bland. There are so many ways to make nutritious food delicious. And, you know, there are low-sodium and sodium-free herbs and spices that can help bolster your food's flavor
mm-hmm.
and nutrition level and overall health.
Right. Well, I have a few more questions.
Okay.
Does it matter if I'm getting most of my nutrients like vitamins and minerals from a supplement or from the food I consume?
Well, according to research, it does actually matter. Nutrients are generally more potent and better and easier to absorb by your body when they come from whole foods rather than supplements. And then whole foods provide a complex nutritional matrix, including vitamins, minerals, and bioactive compounds that work with to promote health. Supplements might lack this complex network and may not be as absorbed as efficiently, and that information is from Harvard Health.
Now, and when we talk about whole foods
mm-hmm.
as opposed to supplements,
mm-hmm.
we're not talking about the store franchise whole foods.
No, we're talking about fruits and vegetables and...
As they're grown or as they're produced or as
right.
they're... Yes.
Right. So they haven't been processed and there haven't been preservatives.
Right. How long does it typically take for somebody adopting an anti-inflammatory diet to feel or see results?
Well, according to the Cleveland Clinic, the time frame can vary depending on the individual and their specific health conditions. Some people might notice improvements in symptoms and their overall mental health, such as reduced inflammation or pain, within 2 to 3 weeks of making dietary changes. However, for more significant health benefits, it might take several months of consistent adherence to the diet. And then I'm kind of wondering, too, if someone does not have access, as we were saying, like if they're in a food desert, mm-hmm. so they don't have access to farm fresh groceries, will eating frozen fruits, vegetables, mushrooms, and fish, will that be a sufficient substitute?
Absolutely. Like you were saying, frozen fruits and vegetables are often just as nutritious as fresh ones. And in some cases, they may even retain more nutrients because they're frozen shortly after harvest, before the nutrients start to break down. This makes them a viable and convenient option for maintaining a healthy diet when fresh produce is not available. Healthline.com posted that.
And I think we have to ask, too, is it important to eliminate food deserts and improve access, I think this is a given, but to fresh fruits, vegetables, and other anti-inflammatory foods?
Yes. Eliminating food deserts is crucial for public health.
Okay.
Limited access to affordable, healthy foods like fruits and vegetables mm-hmm. contributes to poor diets and increases the risk of diet-related conditions such as obesity and heart disease. Improving access to nutritious foods can help reduce these health disparities and promote overall community well-being. There's a website called Eden Green mm-hmm. that talks about how important it is to limit those foods that may have a deleterious effect on the body.
Okay. And I think we also have to ask, is it important to limit those foods that may have such a negative effect?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's clear that making informed dietary choices can have a profound impact on our health. It's all about making those small, sustainable changes that can lead to significant health benefits over time.
Okay. I agree. And remember, this isn't about perfection, and perfection does not, you know, eating healthy foods does not make you good, and eating unhealthy foods does not make you bad. It's about feeling good and feeling good about what you eat, but also that you can take control somewhat of how you feel based on what you're eating. And it might give you that, you know, eating processed foods might have like a instant soothing effect, but then how are you feeling, you know, half an hour later?
Right.
I think that's what matters. And so, yeah, don't, you know, it's not something to beat yourself up about, you know, eating unhealthy foods, but maybe make it a family activity that you're doing food prep, you know, once a week. And, you know, it can be fun to explore different fruits and vegetables and
yep.
do that as a group and as a family.
Yep. Back in the Tic Tac days.
Yeah.
There was a Tic Tac family.
Yeah, that you like to follow.
Yeah, there was the father was a professional chef.
Mm-hmm.
Chef.
Okay. Oh,
And his son mm-hmm. would actually do the prep. You know, he would be his sous chef.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just so cute together.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you having TikTok withdrawal?
I'm already, yes. It's only been 4 hours. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all for taking the time to join us today.
Okay.
If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. We have a website, podcastdx.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter or X, Pinterest, and Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. And before or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard in this podcast.
Till next week.